Kia ora, welcome to the Power Up podcast, powered by Venture Taranaki and produced by Raw Collective. Season 4 has even more innovative, driven entrepreneurs doing amazing things in a variety of sectors. This series not only highlights the strength and diversity of entrepreneurship within Taranaki, but it's also a library of real-life case studies for budding business people to learn from. Taranaki business founders lift the curtains to tell honest stories of how they've got to where they are. We talk about their wins, their challenges, their inspiration, and their breakthroughs. And at the same time, we reflect on the reality of growing and running a business in Taranaki. We talk about how the unique natural and economic landscape has fueled both enterprises and lifestyles and empowers founders to be at their best. I'm David Downs, and this is the latest in a series all about flourishing Taranaki businesses and thriving Taranaki people. Nau mai, haere mai, we welcome you to hear all about our enterprising future like no other. Mihi's place is a Rongoā Māori healing clinic that combines traditional Māori healing and wellness practices with a contemporary science-based approach. Mihi Henry Hatcher started the business as a young mum more than 20 years ago after what she describes as a moment that changed her life. She went on a journey of learning the old ways of holistic healing while also studying modern practices, becoming the first Māori woman and the second woman in New Zealand to receive a degree in therapeutic modalities. Mihi's Place offers a variety of health treatments and products as well as weekend workshops. While there are plenty of treatment options, at its core it's about aligning mind, body and soul for an overall healing practice that delivers noticeable results. And for a bit of bonus credit, stick around until the end. This episode is peppered with a bunch of lessons that Mihi has learned throughout her journey, and it makes a golden opportunity to tap into all that knowledge. She's helped us out with a bit of a glossary of common words and phrases in te reo Māori, so wherever you're listening, you can get a handle on their pronunciation and maybe even use them yourself. Ka pai. Kia ora, Mihi.
Tēnā koe.
Oh, tēnā koe. Tēnei te mihi o te ata.
Aye.
So where have you come from today?
Work.
Where's work for you, physically?
Airport Drive.
Oh, okay. I could have got a lift with you.
Oh, where are you?
Well, I flew in this morning. But
oh,
poor planning on my behalf. But you've originally from Taranaki, yes. Originally, but you left for a little bit of time. Did you? You tell us about those early years in Taranaki and what led you to leave.
So I was born in Hawera. My whānau are all from here. So my mum was born in Pariaka. My dad, Manaia Hawerawais, and my biological dad, Kakaromia.
Oh.
And so at a young age, my parents got away from the marae and wanted to go to Wellington, so they moved to Wellington and we all went with them.
Yeah.
And there was six of us in tow. From Wellington, my mum and dad separated and we all went all over the place. Yeah, so
wow.
My life changed rapidly as a young child.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
But you found your way back to Taranaki eventually.
I did. For me, it was about bringing my children home so that they can find out who they were.
Yeah.
Because it took me ages to find me, if that makes sense.
When you're disconnected from your whenua. Yeah.
Totally.
And what had you been doing for work up until that point?
So I was on DPB for a while, in and out of a relationship with my children's dad.
Yep.
Ended up getting manual labour because I needed to work. I needed to figure out who I was, but I loved plants, so I learned a lot about plants in my earlier, as my kids were younger. Plus, my children were all allergic to pharmaceutical medication or anything from a supermarket, so I had to learn how to make my own stuff to cater to their needs.
But there was a bit of a family members who got you into that traditional healing, I heard. Is that right? So you had a little bit of knowledge that you could build on.
Totally. But it really didn't take effect until I came home, if that makes sense. Mm. When I came back to Taranaki, my kids were only little, and I wanted to find out about my culture. So I signed up for a te reo course, signed up to do business admin at Rangiatia, when it was at Rangiatia.
Yep.
And it was under the old, what was it back then, Western Institute of Technology.
Yeah, WIT.
So this is prior to WIT, being WIT.
Pre-WIT.
Pre-WIT. And so did all my deal there, did my office admin. And because we were quite heavily involved in Māori there, got involved in kapahaka, so with Te Huatahi Kapahaka Group. And we went to Turanga Waiwai for the first time in about 50-odd years.
Yeah.
as a Ngāho group, and the kaumātua or some of my whānau saw something in me I didn't know I had. It was from that moment on changed the rest of my life.
Sort of a defining moment of destiny.
Totally.
Yeah?
So while we were there, they said, oh, you need to come to the marae on Monday. And I said, I've got work. And they said, your boss is there. It's okay. So I went to the marae, and I guess the moving moment for me was seeing my mum on the massage table.
Yeah.
And she was getting energy healing done. And seeing the difference of her getting off cemented it for me. And I was like, I was hooked.
Wow.
Went back to work, resigned, and took up the opportunity to get a $20 petrol voucher once a month, and I jumped at it.
That was the initial quid pro quo, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I was taken under the wings by many kaumātua of Pariaka and around the coast, and they taught me everything I know today.
Yeah, amazing wisdom from generations of wisdom.
Totally.
What a gift.
It's an amazing gift.
Yes.
And I'm quite privileged to have received it.
Yeah.
On the big scale of things, I probably was one of only a few selected in that manner, and I'm quite honoured to have been that person.
So can you tell us a little bit about that journey? What did that learning process look like?
Got lots of growlings.
Yeah, really?
From our kuia and kaumātua, I was either doing it wrong, or I should learn how to say things different, or learning about me through that whole process, which made me understand what our old people used to do and how they used to do it. Does that make sense?
Well, it's how wisdom's passed on in Māori cultures, you know, through teaching oral tradition and kaumātua teaching, a tuakana tina model.
Yeah, totally. From that, we went to marae, and I was chucked in the deep end doing miri-miri.
What's miri-miri?
Māori massage.
Okay.
Learned how to do honohono, which is a form of energy healing, similar to Reiki, but a bit more intense, so to speak, because it's channeled using guided tupuna. And then there was also the rongoā rākau, learning about native plants, how to pick it, where pick it, why pick it. What not to pick.
And times of the year or times of the moon cycles or anything.
Yeah. And, you know, what time in the morning to pick it.
Boy.
The whole lot came
into it. Sounds like a masterclass. You're having to memorize and learn.
And the thing is, you couldn't write it down. It had to all be retained in memory.
Yeah.
So many years of learning, and eventually I became that good, I guess, that they sent me off around New Zealand to learn from others.
Oh, okay. You learned as much as you could from Taranaki.
Yeah.
And then it was the time to go and find others that they knew about around the
country. Yes. Wow. But it was also about learning about their kawa and their tikanga so that if I saw someone from a different region, I knew within myself what their process would be.
Yeah.
I'd still stick to my Taranaki roots, but it enhanced, if that made sense, what I could do.
And so how critical was it, do you think, that you did learn initially in Taranaki in your own whenua?
I think the universe lined me up to come home to learn it because everything worked in my favour. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So my business degree helped me to where I am today business-wise. My te reo is part and parcel of my culture.
Yeah.
And it gave me the roots within myself to be that person.
The other thing, and this is going to be terrible on audio, but you've got some incredible moko tattoo, traditional moko kawau, but also on your arms. So obviously that's connecting you to the stories of your land and your history as well. Or you wear them literally on your body.
On my body, yes. Yeah. So my arm, if you notice, it's got the maunga up top.
Yeah.
So this is my waka papa all the way through.
Yeah.
And I know what it means, and my children know what it means, and that's all that matters.
Beautiful. Thank you. When you combine that Māori healing with some contemporary business knowledge, you said you'd had training, you've got quite a magical combination then. You've got a thing that actually allows you to explore a different way of presenting rongoā to people. Tell us a little bit about how that business side of it started to develop.
Over the years, I mean, I've worked for some really good, amazing Māori organisations in Taranaki, from a place called Karanga Ora to start off with. And Mahina Kura had a really amazing business model that I learnt all I could from. However, I knew I could do it better. I think everyone thinks that, I can do it better. But I learnt what I didn't like, and I knew how I could incorporate it to make it better.
Yeah.
So I also knew that using my business head to do my business plan, make it a living model, writing all my own policies and procedures, health and safety stuff, enabled me to know that I had a core foundation to work on.
So you had some, like, you could actually take kind of a Western mentality, Pākehā mentality, and bring it to the Māori way of doing things,
totally.
Create something unique.
Yeah, and I think I have.
Yeah.
I know I've had a lot of people say to me, how do you incorporate Māori and Pākehā so that it walks evenly?
Yeah.
And I can't explain how I do it, I just do it.
That's awesome. And which brings us to Mihi's Place, your business. You know, so you set up this business. What did it look like in those early years?
In those early years, it was working in a little bedroom in my home. Brought a vibro sauna into the country, infrared sauna, and I wanted to be a niche difference in the market. From that, I became too busy, so I hired a staff member.
Wow.
Hannah came about through advertising on Facebook for cheap massages, and I'm into cheap massages, not really, but Tupuna said book in with her, so I called her up and said, would you come give me a massage? Didn't tell her who I was or anything like that. Said, I've got everything, just come.
All right. Didn't tell her that she was coming to the home of an expert.
No, at all.
Oh, no.
I think that would have put her off.
Yeah, I can imagine. It'd be intimidating turning up and going, oh, my God, you're like the guru here.
Yeah, she stalked me and found out that, oh, my God, it is her.
Yep.
5 minutes into massaging me, I offered her a job.
Wow.
It wasn't because of what she was doing. It was what I could see.
Yeah. Potential.
Potential.
Yeah.
And she's an amazing healer.
She's still with you today?
She's still with me today.
Far out. Mm. Oh, that's wonderful. So now you've got a real business going and you've got...
I've got lots of staff.
Have you? Really? They're always a joy though, aren't they, staff, don't you
they
think?
Are.
So what sort of problems or issues do people come to Mihi's Place for to help with?
Everything. I'm an ACC vendor, so we get a lot of ACC clients from physical, mental, sexual abuse. Separate to that, we also do a full beauty regime. So we do waxing to dermaneedling, dermaplaning, all those sort of stuff as well. But we're first and foremost traditional Māori healing.
Mm.
A lot of our people come to experience what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you explain to us what that might mean if I haven't really, when I thought of rongoā, I was thinking more of like herbs and sort of natural elements that I would take or potions or whatever, but there's more to it than that, isn't there?
It is. So rongoā Māori encompasses all modalities of health within the Māori realm. So anything from modako to musical instruments, all of that has a part to play within the realm of healing. It's about rebalancing your aura, your inner self, your chi, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
However, for example, if you come to us, Miri Miri, we start off ourselves as practitioners. We take the time to put protection up, to ask our tūpuna to come in and assist. We protect our space, protect the person walking in. So there's a whole thing we do before the person even walks in the door.
So karakia.
Karakia comes into it, everything like that. They'll come in and taranaki, we don't work on the front of the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's tapu because of all the trauma that the human body has gone through. So we solely work on the back because we believe that doesn't matter what you can do on the back, it will go through to the front of the body. And so we will start at your feet here in Taranaki. It's about being humble. And we start at the bottom. So the feet is the bottom and you work your way to the head. Because also with that, if you came to us, you're a complete stranger and I'm a stranger to you. So by the time I get to your knees, you feel quite comfortable with my touch. Whereas if I started here, you're already nervous.
Yeah, up in your shoulder, your face sort of thing, you're right. Yeah, you tense up.
You tense up because you've got a stranger touching you.
Mm.
Whereas we believe if you start at the bottom and gradually build your way up, you get the confidence of that person.
Yeah.
And it works.
So do you find Mihi's Place is mainly Māori or do you find all peoples are coming and embracing rongoā?
We have all nationalities that come to Mihi's Place. We don't turn any of them away. We do ask them if they have any cultural references that they would like us to stick within because it is about honouring their culture as well. And it works. We think it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you, have you been surprised that people embrace, I suppose, Indigenous traditional practices in the way they have?
In the last 5 to 10 years, yes. Prior to that, no one wanted traditional Māori.
Right. But now it's become a thing. People are more aware, conscious of it.
Yes, they are more aware of it consciously, but I think with the push of those wanting to try alternative,
yeah,
have actually made them look at what do we have in New Zealand?
Yeah.
Who does what? Yeah.
Can you give us an example maybe of someone that you've helped? Is there a good example you can think of what they came with you with and then how they left?
A prime example, and I know this client wouldn't mind me talking about her. She had been physically, sexually abused, had been in a fire where her mum had put her into a hot bath, not realising that it was just the straight hot water. It was that intense that it actually burnt the flesh of her skin. She had been so traumatised through that, as well as being physically, sexually, mentally abused by family members, that she was a shell of herself.
Yeah.
She was told that she needed to come home to Taranaki to find someone to help her heal. And randomly, she heard about me, came, and to this day, she's jumped out of aeroplanes, she's married, she's dealt with all that trauma. She's still a wonderful client of ours and will come back for, I know, a touch-up is what she calls it. But seeing her life change from not wanting to be touched or hugged or even loving herself to seeing this amazing woman is a really cool, honouring experience amazing. To be part of. Yeah.
Doesn't sound like it was a random connection with you, I have to say. In the same way that you being back here in Taranaki is maybe not random as well.
Yeah. Maybe that the universe brought me home for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you've been very successful as well in what you do, not only in individual cases like this, but you've won a bunch of awards. International as well.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about those. And you're allowed to talk about them. The Kumara never speaks of its own sweetness, but I'm asking you to explain to us.
So my first award would have been in 2019, and that was the Māori Businesswoman's Award. The reason I applied for it was to see where I fitted in the world of
benchmarking,
Māori.
Sort of.
Yeah. Yeah, it was about milestoning for me to see what my calibre was, and I was quite blown away that I was shortlisted and received that award. And then 2022, I think, a client put me forward for an international award, and I had to, you know, once you get accepted, you've got to fill out all the paperwork and do that regime.
Yep.
And I thought, well, if she saw something in me, let's try it. And then, walked away with an international business award for that. And it was for alternative treatments as a, they call me a day spa. I don't think I'm a day spa.
Yeah, yeah. That's a very tiny way of saying for very big things that you do.
Totally.
Yeah.
Last year, I applied also to benchmark myself again for the Māori Business Awards. And I think they had over 100 applicants, and to be shortlisted into, you know, maybe 20, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And then to hear your name get nominated, and then to go up on stage to receive the regional award, which was from Taranaki across to Hawke's Bay to Wellington.
Yeah.
So that's a big region.
Yeah.
For me, it was like, cool, I know where I sit in a business level for my staff because I made them all come. I needed them to feel the Māori of being in a room with some strong, powerful Māori women business owners to inspire them to want to do something different in their lives.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you know what the next horizon might be.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And the same night that I accepted those awards, I got an email to say that I was supposed to be in Italy and say that I had taken out 3 awards. So
In Italy?
In Italy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeepers, you've got it going on. You've got a global empire.
I don't see it that way.
No.
No, they're just, okay, cool, pat yourself on the back, let's get back to work.
Back to work.
Yeah.
So what does the future hold then for Mihi's Place?
I'm not really sure. I do want to take it to another level, but I don't know what that level is yet.
Yeah.
Part of Mihi's Place is I have a retail shop in the airport, which you might have seen.
Ah, yes.
And that came about because my stuff were actually in Tatai, which used to be in there. And I thought, that's a cool way to promote my products. And I thought, cool, I'm going to promote all my stuff. And I thought, actually, you can't just promote you. Promote all New Zealand small Māori and non-Māori. So I started asking people, what do you sell? What do you make in your kitchen? What do you make in your backyard? And that's how Mihi's Place retail shop became.
Fantastic.
It is today.
Yeah. So are you enjoying that experience of interacting with people differently?
Totally.
Yeah.
I guess for us, our niche market is everything is New Zealand made as well.
Yeah.
And I have to ask people for authentication that it's made in New Zealand because that makes us different to every other shop.
Yeah.
And we're quite lucky because it's the only Māori-owned retail shop in an airport in New Zealand.
Cool.
So that's kudos to Māori.
Yeah.
And to me as a business.
Because there's quite a few shops in airports in New Zealand that sell, you know, Māori things.
Yes.
But often they're very targeted towards tourists. And this is what you're saying is that authenticity is something pretty key.
Totally.
I suspect, Mihi, that you don't have a lot of time outside of what you do in terms of work. What is it? What does the rest of your life look like when you're not growing this global empire and winning awards in Italy?
My whānau, my grandchildren is a big part of it. And I love biking, so I cycle. That's where I do me time. It's where I can plan my day, think of what my next steps are. It's where I ground myself.
Yeah. So what's the best thing about being in Taranaki then for you now that you're back home?
Home? I guess waking up and seeing our maunga is the weather forecast for the day for me. But it's about knowing that this is where all my tupuna are from, literally, Taranaki.
Mm.
Yeah.
All around you.
Yeah. And the kumara vine speaks faster than the telephone wire. And because I am from here, everyone knows me.
Yeah.
I guess it's what I like. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Do you feel yourself now with this responsibility to pass on the knowledge that you have in the same way that it was passed on to you?
Yes, definitely. So I've taught my children to the best of my ability. I'm now teaching my grandchildren how to do, they all can do midi midi.
Yeah.
They're amazing. And I've started from my babies all the way up. For me now is to pass it on to the next lot. So my staff have all learnt it. I'm not about retaining the information and keeping it for myself. It's about it needs to be shared. And because it is tūturu Taranaki way, people need to know how to do it right.
Mm.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I've got one final question. We are asking everyone this question.
Cool.
And this is where you have to put on your business hat again. So what is the best and worst business advice you've been given?
The best advice I've had from people is to continue doing what I do and believe in myself and never mind everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I do that. I trust my gut, and if I see opportunity, I just roll with it. If it fails, it fails. If it doesn't, wow, that's cool. Worst advice, I'm in the wrong business.
Someone told you you're in the wrong business.
Yeah.
And yet, you're clearly not in the wrong business.
Yeah.
I'm glad you ignored them.
I did, yeah.
Oh, Mihi, ngā mihi ki tēnei kōrero. And thank you so much for sharing with us.
My pleasure.
Ka pai. And now, as promised, some extra for experts. Hopefully it helps you to understand and maybe even incorporate a little bit more te reo into your life. We use the words komātua. A kaumātua is a respected tribal elder of either sex in a Māori community who has been involved with their whānau or family for a number of years. They're appointed by their people who believe their chosen elders have the capacity to lead and guide both current and future generations. Kawa. Kawa is Māori protocol, etiquette and rules. Tuakana. Tuakana is the older brother of a male or the elder sister of a female or the cousin of the same gender from a more senior branch of the family. Or a prefect. A tuakana is basically a more senior person. Whenua, land. Whenua is often used in the plural. Whakapapa. Whakapapa is genealogy, lineage, descent. Reciting whakapapa was and is an important skill and reflected in the importance of genealogies in Māori society in terms of leadership, land, fishing rights, kinship and status. It's central to all Māori institutions. Tupuna. Tupuna are our ancestors. Kuia. Kuia is a Māori female elder. Kapahaka. Kapahaka is traditional Māori entertainment, usually for competition.
whereas whakataetae kore is sharing of one's culture like a kapa haka, but not as competitive. Thanks so much for listening, and a special thanks to Venture Taranaki for making this Power Up podcast possible. Highlighting Taranaki's success stories for others to learn from is just one way Venture Taranaki helps entrepreneurs to get ideas off the ground. If you're looking to start a new venture or want to power up your existing business, Venture Taranaki can help. With a wide range of services such as free startup clinics, advisory support, business mentoring, masterclasses, investment advice, and networking opportunities, VT is here to help you bring your idea to life. And in Taranaki, you can enjoy the like no other mountain-to-sea lifestyle. There's something for everyone, with stunning natural landscapes and a unique buzz about the place, with diverse events, arts and culture, and a thriving food and beverage scene. If you've got this far and you've enjoyed the episode, please rate it, review it, or subscribe for more. It helps others find us.